Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
No. Roger.
Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
It's opinion. I respect your opinion. Maybe in your opinion Messi is better than me, but in my mind I'm better than him. I do it again.
Everything is on me, gon' back it up. Matter what, told you I'ma do me. Why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck. Country heart, I'ma cop a farm and go act up. Lot of scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm back up. Keep it real, I do this once a month. I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. Only buy a car, hard car, cards, and get tatted up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up.
No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low. Then we lay low. Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up,
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation, the home of Rodri Giggs on football. We are here to talk all things football for the next 40, 45 minutes or so this evening. We are
going to go forward.
It's going down slowly but surely. It's been a long week, mate. It's been a brutal week. But we are going to be talking the Kobe Mainoo hype. We're going to be talking Jurgen Klopp replacements. We're going to be talking our top 10 defensive midfielders in Premier League history, among other things. And as always, I'm joined by the man himself, ex-Salford City, Bangor City, Aberystwyth Town, FC United, Mosley, Bangor City, and many others. It is Mr. Rodri Giggs. How are you, my friend?
What's happening?
What's happening? Right, mate, very quickly.
Actually, I had a quick exit on the Tuesday.
We were all out there within seconds. Rob closed it down as soon as that last penalty went. It was brutal, mate. Very quickly, I want to talk about Wales very, very quickly because I don't really want to talk about it. But, like, straight away, the Welsh FA have come out and backed Robert Page. I think, look, they were never going to sack him because he's recently signed, like, I think it's another 2-year deal and he's on, like, over £1 million a year. They haven't got the money to sack him, basically. But I've seen a lot of people quite angry with some of his decisions, his tactics, things like that throughout the game on Tuesday. And I think, look, on the Finland game, we gave him a lot of credit because he got everything right tactically and his team selection and everything like that. So what I want to ask you, mate, really, is now that you've had time to kind of digest it and watch the highlights and think about it a bit more, calm the emotion out of it a little bit more. Do you think Wales did everything they could from a player point of view? And do you think that Robert Page could have and should have done this certain things differently on Tuesday night?
Yeah, should have, could have, you know. It's, yeah.
You've got to analyse, mate, haven't you?
They were in the positions to make chances. I'm sure they had a few chances. That's the time where, you know, you have to step out of Ramsey, Bale, and someone else has to step up. And unfortunately, they couldn't do that. So, just finishing a cruel way, really. But with Daniel James on the night, I'm like, you prick. But yeah, I know what it's like to take. I've took a penalty in front of 100 people, so and my legs were shaking. I remember the first time, anyway. But yeah, he's still got to refocus as a professional footballer. But you know, it can happen. He's obviously, the nerves have got the best of him. Want the best of run ups. They want the best of penalties. So you know, but they should have. They were on top. Should he gone with Keith Moore at the start? Should he have gone with what he'd have gone with Finland? It's all ifs and buts, maybes, and you know, also we're not going, so.
Yeah, I saw a lot of criticism for the decision to play Keith Moore rather than stick with the thing. But the fact is, David Brooks had been ill, he hadn't trained for a couple of days. So the decision was, do you bring in Keith Moore for David Brooks, or do you bring in a kind of more like for like, like a young attacking player? And I think he went with what he felt was the tried and tested in Kiefer Moore. And I thought Kiefer Moore for 90 minutes was decent. He missed a couple of headers, which I think he probably could have done better with. But overall, I thought his performance was all right. He did what he was supposed to. He pressed, he held the ball up, et cetera, et cetera. After the 90 minutes, I thought his legs went, and I didn't really understand why we didn't replace him a bit earlier with.
That's the only thing I would like. They were clearly on top, and he didn't seem to do anything about it. So, but
yeah,
you know, it was time for one of them to step up. But ultimately, you know, they didn't do that. But it's a young side; they'll come back, and they'll obviously learn from it. I feel sorry for Daniel James, but you know, that's life. And unfortunately, you'll have a goal from this, or you'll struggle with it. I'm sure they'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean, with the Daniel James thing, I got to say, I thought, and it's a pure speculation on my part, I thought he looked like he changed his mind at the last minute.
It's poor, but, yeah, when you run up like that, it's poor, just poor. Mm. Like I said, when we were on the night, just pick your spot, bosh. You know, if your keeper saves it, then you know your keeper saves it. But no, it was a poor, it was a nervous pen. It was like a pen that he wasn't focused on. It's one of them where you lift your head up too soon. It's not gone in the corner where you want it to. He's not hit with any power, and it's, you know, keeper can throw his cap on it.
Yeah, and on a more positive note, I thought Ben Davis was outstanding in both games. I thought Ethan Ambidu.
It was good. Harry Wilson,
Ethan Ampadu and John James. I thought, like, you look at those two as a pair for Wales' midfield, and you're happy with that for the next 10 years.
Even the centre halves look solid. I like them two, Rodon and
Ben Davis and Meepham, yeah.
Yeah. Nico. Just unfortunate, mate. Unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, people forget as well, mate. Poland are a good side, and I think frustration.
It's like they're talking about the Cardiff and Swansea thing, that they've never done it. It's 50 years since Wales beat Poland. 50 years. So
yeah. I think where the frustration comes is in the first half. I think Wales were on top, and we didn't take advantage of it.
Anyway, moving swiftly on.
I know, and it's depressing. But and like Will says, there's no blame on Daniel James. It's one of them things. But
yeah, he's just
nervous. And
my mate at work was getting abused, absolutely, because he's a Leeds scumbag, dirty scumbag. Oh my God, he was getting. But yeah, after sleeping on it,
It's one of them things. Yeah, everyone's emotional and stuff, and I understand the criticism that Robert Page gets for his some of the tactical decisions he makes. And the other thing with Daniel James is before he went to that right wing back, he was looking quite dangerous. And then as soon as he was back into the wing back position, he just kind
playing
of
well as well. Playing for
the, he did playing a real good job for the team.
Yeah, he did a really good job. So just unfortunate, mate. Like I say, something that will live with him to the rest of his days.
Yeah, but there's a whole heap of young Welsh footballers coming through the 21s, the 18s, and the first team.
Well, it's time to move on, though, isn't it, it's time to move on.
A quick question, mate. Do you think that's the end of Aaron Ramsey's international career?
Yes.
Cool. And next Wales captain, would you make that Ben Davis to carry on, or would you give it to Ethan Ampadu?
Yeah, I'll give it to Ethan Ampadu. Ben Davis, vice captain.
Build for the future, Sweet. So we're going to stick with international football, and this will go down really well with the Welsh people, but we're going to talk about England a little bit. One player in particular is getting all the hype, mate. All the hype. The hype train is well and truly hurtling towards the Euros. But in fairness, I think the lad has earned it. He came off the bench in the first friendly, had 100% pass accuracy, was very composed, did very well. Started then against Belgium, and by all accounts, from what I've seen, and then what I've seen people saying, didn't put much of a foot wrong. Kobbie Mainoo seems like he's the real deal, but he's also only 8 months into his first team career, which is mental.
Yeah, pal of mine was saying, he's playing against a couple of bin men teams in Belgium and Brazil, and overhyped, but he gets one of the match. I won't name him. He knows who he is.
The thing is, mate, it's weird, right? Because I've seen people who I opinion I respect, people who know what they're talking about with football, and they are talking about this kid, they're calling him a generational talent, someone who's couldn't be.
I just feel people need to cool the jet
a little bit,
relax. Even if he just goes starting, maybe not, but see out who's fit and who's not. But going 100%.
I think he starts. I do. I think.
Yeah, well, that's a different debate. I just think he's come in, he's done well, he's done very well. Man United. He's almost changed Man United's midfield.
Yeah,
he's better with Casemiro next to him, and he'd probably be better with Declan Rice next to him. So,
Jamie Carragher was saying, him and Gary Neville were talking, and they were saying it was like watching a portrait when it was Mainoo, Rice, and Bellingham, which is the midfield I was on about, wasn't it, for the next 10 years. He said that it was like watching a Portuguese or a European midfield because the way they were just interchanging and the way they were moving the ball and the way they were all so comfortable on the ball, receiving it in tight spaces and just so composed. And I think...
Well, none of them panic on the ball, do they? So that helps, plus the great technique. And they can play in either position in the midfield, so they're comfortable wherever.
And the balance of that three, when you look at their attributes and their type of game, it seems like a good balance, doesn't it? Like where for so many years you had Gerrard, Lampard, Scholes trying to fit them in, whereas those three seem to naturally fit in together, don't they? Do you know what I mean? And as a combination, it remains to be seen. And then you've got Maddison, Ward-Prowse, Henderson, all these other people on the bench. England, if England don't get to the final at the very least, mate, I think Gareth Southgate has failed, in my opinion.
Well, if they don't win it,
no, if they don't get to the final, I think he's failed.
It all depends on what who they play, doesn't it?
Who's got a better squad? Apart from France, who has got a better squad in the Euros than England?
Brazil. I know it's better with Euros, but Brazil have just been.
Oh, no, I know that.
And Belgium.
Euros, isn't it, in the summer?
Yes, all right. Guaranteed they didn't have a full team, but that can happen in a Euros, people get injured. So it's a not foregone conclusion, but it's when you get to them semi-finals, mate, it's tight margins.
Yeah.
You know, it's a slip. It's a tight game. Goes to penalties.
Yeah.
Or unless someone steps up, and then you want match winners and as many match winners as possible. And England have got a few, to be fair. You know, Foden can win you the game. Bellingham can win you the game. Kane can win you the game. Saka can win you the game. Rashford can win you the game. So there's a few there. Probably not named a couple more as well. So they've got match winners.
The interesting thing, I think, like, you look at what Bellingham. Yeah. James Ward-Prowse can't even get in the side, in the squad, like, which is crazy to me. I think, you look at what Jude Bellingham's doing in Real Madrid, and I think people maybe in this country or in the UK who don't watch that much Spanish football, they don't realise what he's doing and how special it is. Like, he's gone in there and he's gone, that's Zidane's number, is it? No, I'll have that. And he's like, oh yeah, and he's gone out there and he's just winning games on his own in some games, and then standing in front of the Bernabeu with his arms out wide, and he just seems to embrace it and he loves it, and he's got the quality to back it up. But also, when you hear him speak in interviews and media and stuff like that, he's quite similar to Kobe Mainoo, and like, he's quite composed, he's quite laid back, seems like his head's screwed on, you know. And he's like, the fame and the success is not going to go to his head, it seems.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, it's obviously been brought up well and been brought up the right way. And he's a very, very good footballer and all that. For 19?
Yeah, it's mad, mate, isn't it?
He's a unit as well. He's a proper, the unit.
Big lad. He's a special footballer. And I think the one thing they have got, England, is they've got quite a good mix of young players like Bellingham, Mainoo, Foden, these type of players. But, like, you know, even with, like, Foden and Saka, they're experienced at Champions League, Premier League. They're experienced footballers. And then you've got your Harry Maguires, your Trippiers, I know Luke Shaw's out, but, like, him and Kyle Walker. Like, very, very experienced players. And it feels like a good mix. So it remains to be seen, mate. I'm not Gareth Southgate's biggest fan in terms of his managerial abilities. However, here's a fact for you. Gareth Southgate and Robert Page are the most successful managers for their nations in history of the game.
Really?
Well, Gareth Southgate, I suppose, since 1966, rather than the history. But Robert Page is Wales' most successful manager ever.
That's good. It's good. It's just a shame that he couldn't add to that. But I'm sure he'll get another goal. And, World Cup now, he's the target now. So see what happens there.
Yeah, he's got to get those young players going, haven't he? And hopefully pick them all up and add some quality in there. And like you mentioned, someone will, like, whilst they seem to have a very good team ethic and a lot of good young players, you need that one or two players to really step up and be the one in the tight moments, like your Gareth Bale or your Ramsey, or the guys that when games are tight, they make something happen. Whether that's Harry Wilson or Brennan Johnson or whoever, that's what is the difference in the tight games, isn't it? Right. Moving on to club football, mate. As you know, Jurgen Klopp is leaving in the summer. He will not be winning the quadruple. You'll be happy to know.
Why is that?
After they were knocked out of the FA Cup in a very boring... It was a very drab
game.
Very drab, pretty boring thing to watch.
Who knocked him out? I can't remember.
Oh, I'm not sure, mate. Some ragtag bunch of misfits. No, in terms of Klopp, mate, obviously I know you're very disappointed he can't claim all four trophies, which really, you know, they were definitely nailed on to do. Yeah. What, like, before I kind of go through the list of potential candidates, who springs to your mind, like, straight away, other than Xabi Alonso, if we assume Alonso's going to Bayern, who, like, is the first name which springs to mind and you think, that's a good fit?
Deserve it.
Okay.
There's not many. Nagelsmann, Germany's coach.
Good shout, that one. What about Postecoglou?
I think it's tied down at Tottenham there now. I'm not sure about that.
Who's the guy at Brentford? What's his name?
Frank.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. What about him?
Possibly. Because he's done a very good job, him, to consolidate Brentford like he has. So, yeah, possibly. Because there's not many to choose from, so they've got to get it right. Because, you know, look at us. We've got to take the time. They've had enough time now. I'm sure they'll confer with Jurgen, see his thoughts. Maybe not. I don't know.
About Gareth Southgate? I know I've been winding you up about Southgate to United, but what about Southgate? If he goes, you know,
don't see him a big club manager. Why do you keep naming Gareth Southgate? He's not one of.
He's on all these.
Not one attack.
I know, but
you name him these big massive clubs. No, these clubs are winners, not losers who get to semi-finals and finals. He's got the squad together. Yeah, he's great with the press. He fucking loses in the final. He loses in the semi-final.
What if he wins the Euros?
You can go to Liverpool, yeah. He'd be good fit for Liverpool, actually, yeah.
What if he wins the Euros, then? Does that change your opinion of whether he can go there?
Of course it does, because he's got over the line. You can't keep on getting in these positions. That's where Leo Solskjaer was down the line. You got to semi-finals, finals, didn't win. You got to win.
All right, here's another one then for you. Graham
Potter. Best year Liverpool or Manchester United?
Graham Potter.
No.
What about Jose? He's looking for a job.
No. Liverpool from going what they are to Jose. Come on.
Well, I don't think so, but like if you say they want a winner, there's not many who've won as much as him.
No.
You don't think that there's any chance he goes there, no?
There's zero chance Jose Mourinho goes to Liverpool. Zero.
What about Thomas Tuchel?
No.
No? What about who's the guy at Chelsea?
You're just naming names now for the sake.
I just seen if there's someone who you think like that's Eddie a really May. Good
thing. Eddie May, is he still about?
No, he's dead. Come on. What about Pochettino? Leave Chelsea, go to Liverpool.
Pochettino.
I think he'd be a good fit. I do.
No,
but obviously won't happen. Do you think Xavi Alonso is the most likely?
It depends. Bayern Munich, you know, he might like in Germany.
And this is what people don't take into account, isn't it? Like, he might, you know.
Bayern Munich is like Liverpool or Manchester United. It is a juggernaut. It's a big, massive club worldwide.
Yeah.
You know, the NFL have the games there. They know, you know, it's a really nice stadium, but history goes back. Bayern Munich is a big, big club around the world. So that's put. Does he want this airpin of the league? Maybe you'd think he wanted to test himself. Maybe it's too soon for him. And he backs himself, no, to stay in Bayern Munich, win everything in Bayern Munich, do well in the Champions League, and then go to Liverpool in 3 or 4 years or whatever, or go somewhere else, whatever. You don't know what these... The press or people think, oh, it's a natural fit. He might have something totally different instead of thinking, nah, it's too soon for me now, Liverpool. Done really well here by Leverkusen. I know this league, you know, I think still learning the ropes. You never know. But then again, you might think, no, I'm ready. I want to test myself at Liverpool.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, like, I'm not sure what his family situation is, but if he's got kids and stuff like that, and they're settled in Germany, he might, you know, he might love Liverpool, but...
That's the last place you'll be, Liverpool, yeah.
No. So, here's an interesting one.
That was a joke, by the way. That was a joke, by the way. It's lovely.
I know. People get their their knickers in a twist, don't they? And they just get like...
Oh, in the port, Albert Docks, beautiful.
Yeah. So, he got... here's an interesting one from Reese. He says, Xabi Alonso to Liverpool, Xavi to Bayern Munich, Nagelsmann to Leverkusen, and then Klopp takes a year out and goes to the German national side.
I see Klopp going to Bayern Munich, but no. You know.
Yeah, I think... But I think they're going to want a manager this year, and I don't know whether...
Trinks going to have a year out, do you? Trinks going to have a year out, like a sabbatical.
He just looks mentally fried, mate, I think. Like, if you look at the way he reacted after the United game, like, he just looks like he's had enough of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, just the media and the press, and he just wants to be left alone.
Like you when you talk about Super Six, because you're well behind, you just had enough, just wanted to end. I get that. Okay, fair enough.
Mate, two seasons in a row, I've just smashed you, and now you find your voice.
He's nibbling.
After a couple of good weeks. Right, do you want to do our top 10 list first, or do you want to do the Super Six predictions?
Whatever. Which one would you like to do first? I'm easy, whatever.
Well, we'll do
Super Six, because you know do you want me to go so you can copy me? So because I mind you, you're about 50 behind me, so you've done it, okay.
Yeah, I've already done mine. So first game up.
Listen, I've got 2%, so I'm gonna have to do mine rapido on my phone.
Right, go on then, we'll whip through them quick.
I've already done them.
Ah, there you go. Spurs versus Luton.
3-1, Spurs.
I got 2-0, Spurs. Chelsea versus Burnley.
2-0, Chelsea.
3-1, Chelsea. Villa versus Wolves.
2-2.
2-1 to Villa. Brentford United.
2-1, United.
3-0, 0-3 to United. Liverpool, Brighton.
2-1, Liverpool.
3-1, Liverpool. And Manchester City versus Arsenal.
These big games always end up in a score draw. 2-2.
I've gone 2-1 Arsenal.
Well, at the Etihad? At the Etihad?
Yes. Yeah, I fancy Arsenal this year. They're going to finally do it.
2-1. 1-2 at the Etihad.
Yeah, there we go. Right. So, our top 10 list this week, mate, is top 10 defensive midfielders in the Premier League history. So it's a really interesting conversation. Do you know what's mad, mate? Is Chelsea have had three of probably, I would say, the top five best defensive midfielders in the league. Do you want me to name them quickly?
I know who they are, but best three?
Well, Makélélé, the position's bloody name. Like, it was created for him. Makélélé, right. Kante, and Michael Essien. I'm not saying they are the best. I'm just saying they're in... they're on the list, aren't they?
Makélélé, Essien, who?
Kante.
Oh, yeah, Kante.
So, number 10, who you got?
The Leicester first.
Huh?
Wasn't he a Leicester? I'd say a Leicester.
He was. I mean, he was a Leicester first, yeah.
There you go.
Let's
be factual.
I said is that Chelsea had played for him three of the best. Like, so... Who's your number 10, mate? I think my number 10 might raise a few eyebrows.
Why?
Well, I don't know. We'll see now.
It's going to be a lot of... Do a go. I'm going to go Michael Carrick, number 10.
Interesting. I've gone Gareth Barry. No comment for that, have you?
No, solid.
Number nine. Huh?
Top 10 Premier League midfielders.
Premier League defensive midfielders. Not just midfielders, defensive midfielders.
Very
I don't think he gets the credit he deserves, mate. Three decades in the Premier League.
Good player, not quick, not slow, but you know, but run all day for your tidy left foot.
Played 600 times in the Premier League.
Played centre half, played here, played there, but ended up in midfield. Did start as a centre half.
Number nine, mate, who you got?
Go on.
Number nine.
Go on, go on.
All right, okay. So I've gone with, I was going to go with Michael Carrick, but I've actually shifted him. So I'm going to go with Fernandinho, ex-Manchester City defensive midfielder. Very, very quality defensive midfielder in his own right, mate.
Yeah, I'm going to go Kante.
Interesting. Speaks for himself. Did the job at Leicester and also at Chelsea, as we mentioned. Number eight, I've gone with Michael Carrick. I think very underrated. Phenomenal on the ball. Slightly different in terms of the way he played that role compared to some of the others on this list. But very, very much. I think, put it this way, I think if England had played Carrick or Hargreaves more as like a deep midfielder and then played Lampard and Scholes or Gerrard and Scholes or Gerrard and Lampard with Carrick behind them, I think they'd have had a bit more success with it. But there we go. That's just my opinion. Who have you got at number eight, mate?
Declan Rice.
Oh, that's a shout. Bit of recency in there. I've got Gilberto Silva from Arsenal.
Okay.
Did a good job.
Yeah. Very good. Good Brazil team as well.
Yeah.
Ronaldinho, Rivaldo, Ronaldo. What a front three that is.
Love that team, mate. Love that team. Number seven, mate.
Just had him in my mind. He's just Rodri.
Number seven, Rodri. That high, really interesting. So I should say,
City haven't been beat in 50 games when he's played.
Yeah, no. I just think I thought he might be a bit higher up the list. That's all.
No.
So I got to say, for my list, I haven't considered Patrick Vieira and Roy Keane because they're going to be in my box to box midfielders list. So I haven't put them down as defensive midfielders, but that's just my personal sort of choice. Because Vieira was in there like quite high, and then I took him out.
What about Paul Scholes?
As defensive midfielder?
He was a quarterback. He played in front of the back four.
Yeah. Right, well, if you want him on your list, mate, you can have him. So number six, who you got? Number six or number seven?
Number six.
Who do I have? So I had Gareth Barry. I had Michael Carrick, Gilberto Silva. So 10, 9, 8, 7.
I've done seven.
Who have you done so far? You did Carrick, Kante.
Carrick, what?
You've done Carrick, Kante, and Rodri, haven't you?
Carrick, Kante, someone else. Carrick, Kante, and Rodri. Someone else. Carrick, Kante, and Rodri.
And I did Gareth Barry, Fernandinho. Oh, Gilberto. No, you are right. There was someone else because I done Fernandinho, Gareth Barry, Gilberto Silva, and Carrick. So that's my four. So we're on number six, yeah.
Yeah, so who's my Carrick, Kante, who's number nine?
So you've done Carrick, Kante, someone, and then Rodri. Who was the one you've done? It was only 5 minutes ago, like.
I listen, oh, yeah. Been a long week. So number six. Someone may mention it. Number six. Bessier.
Shout, mate. So number six, I've gone Paul Ince.
Nah, he was box to box.
All right. We'll take out Paul Ince. I'll go with Essien as well, because I was struggling with, but I'll go with Essien six as well. So number five, mate. You're into the top five defensive midfielders in Premier League history now, then. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because this is where you get to the real meat and the bones.
See, I've got Vieira and Roy Keane.
Yeah, and I understand that, like, completely. Maybe it's because I know that we're gonna do. Like,
see, number five, is Vieira.
So I've got number five is Xavi Alonso. And I think, you know, they both speak for themselves, don't they? Like, in terms of...
Oh, I'll go there. No, I can't have Xavi Alonso in front of a Patrick Vieira thinking about it. So you have switched then. So Xavi Alonso five, Vieira four.
So your four is Vieira. My four is going to be... Oh, difficult, this one. Difficult. Because there's a couple in there which I really rate, but I just can't get them in. I'm going to go with number four. He's going to be N'Golo Kante.
All right.
So number three, mate, who you got? Into the top three now.
Roy Keane,
top three. Shout, mate. Number three, I am going with... I wonder if we'll agree with number one, mate. That'll be interesting if we both agree with number one. I've chopped and changed my mind a little bit. Because there was a couple where, like, I quite fancied them, but I thought they was probably haven't got the longevity, like a Declan Rice and people like that. Like, I'm not ready to put them in my top three. I'm gonna go with number three. Oh, see, I'm stuck, mate, between these. So, number three for me, I'm gonna go with Paddy Vieira. I am gonna have Paddy Vieira in there because I believe Patrick Vieira was more of a defensive midfielder than what Roy Keane was. So Paddy Vieira is number three for me. Who's your number two, mate?
Paul Scholes.
Oof.
Paul Scholes as a midfielder is the best, but as a central midfielder, yes, he was great, but no, his defensive play weren't the best. You know, he weren't the best tacklers, if you remember rightly. He was full-blooded, I would say.
Yeah. But I'm interested in that because he's not, like, when you think of Paul Scholes, you don't necessarily think of him as a defensive midfielder. But I know what you're saying. He played a lot there, didn't he? That quarterback role, did it quite well. I'm not sure I'd have him up there in my, you know, number two. But I, you know, it's your opinion. I'm happy with it.
Many games of him playing
there.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. Number two, I've got Rodri is number two.
Oh, really? That high, yeah?
Yeah, I rate him, mate. I think he's sensational. I really do.
Better than Roy Keane?
Well, I didn't take Roy Keane from my list, did I? But
you've got Patrick Vieira.
Yeah, I think he's better than Patrick Vieira.
No, but I'm saying you've got Roy Keane. Patrick Vieira in, but you haven't got Roy Keane in.
Yeah, because I think Roy Keane is more of a box. I see him as more of a box-to-box than I do Patrick Vieira. I think Patrick Vieira was more of a defensive midfielder than Roy Keane was, if that makes sense. Not all the time. But
that's debatable. Because so, Roy Keane was savage when he was
one player which I took out for Patrick Vieira, just before we do our number ones, the player which I took out for Patrick Vieira at the last minute was Owen Hargreaves. And the reason I took him out is because I think he is one of the best defensive midfielders, like, of his time. But when he came to United, he had one unbelievable season and then he was kind of injured. So I think, whilst he is one of the great defensive midfielders, not in the Premier League, he wasn't. So
to be fair, we should have Steven Gerrard in there, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's a shout. He did it a lot. Well, is he better than Gareth Barry, though? Probably not.
He take the bit.
Yeah. Right, who's your number one?
He's better than any of my ones from 10 to 5. So he would. You'd have to fit him somewhere top five.
Well, I agree.
Down the list, it'd have to go.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, there's players which I haven't considered because I've tried to divide them up.
I know what you mean. Like, even Paul Scholes was a goal scoring midfielder when he first started.
Yeah.
Paul Lynch, you were saying he was a box-to-box midfielder.
Yeah.
But he was a box-to-box midfielder. Steven Gerrard was a box-to-box midfielder. Frank Lampard was. Patrick Vieira was. So I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But when they got older, they seemed to go more deep and play a little bit and make less runs.
And I think part of the reason why mine changed a bit and I didn't put in the Gerrards, the Keens, then that is because I know that we're going to do top 10 box to box, top 10 attacking midfielders, top 10.
Yeah, we can be in both.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, you are right. I'll tell you what, a couple of honourable mentions, mate. Manuel Petit, ex-Arsenal midfielder.
I did think of him, you know. Did think of it, but yeah, didn't make the list.
Who's your number one, mate? I think we're going to have to say the same one. But
yeah, Makelele, yeah. When you get a role named after you.
Yeah. That's it. And it's yours, isn't it, forever?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He transformed the way that sort of that part of the
pitch. I think Mourinho helps. It does help having John Terry, Calvario, Lampard, Drogba, and all them players around you. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, when this is why this team was so good and why the Man United team was so good. Because, yes, they were great players, they didn't do anything extra. You just do your job. Everyone does their job to their capabilities. Then ultimately, you're going to win more games. You know, sometimes when it's a bit sticky, they would go out of that and be a bit of a maverick and try and win the game. And that's why they were great players. But ultimately, and same with the Chelsea team, they all did their specific job.
Yeah.
And that's what McAleary did very, very, very well.
Yeah, especially under Mourinho, that Chelsea side under Mourinho, it was like very much every single player had their job, had their role, whether it was Ashley Cole on the left back or John Terry or Makelele, Drogba, and like they just, it was a well-oiled machine for a few years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. The name which we've both missed out from the list we should probably both be quite ashamed. Top, when you're talking top 10 best defensive midfielders of all time in the Premier League, Calvin Phillips should be up there, shouldn't he? No?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Not having that? Okay.
What, the Yorkshire Pirlo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pirlo, she must be spinning.
Absolutely.
You know what about...
What about James Milner, Mark Noble? Would you have them anywhere? Or would they be
Jordan Henderson?
Thought we were having a serious conversation.
If you're mentioning Mark Noble and I'm just
throwing some names.
Although Mark Noble, I like Mark Noble. He's a very, very good player.
Yeah, I think he's more like top 20, maybe, you know, something like that. You know,
and that's nothing to sniff at.
Absolutely not, mate. Flipping out. When you think of how many players and played over the years,
one club man. No, yeah, he's. I've always liked Mark Noble. Yeah. When he spoke. Players as a player, so yeah, he'd definitely be in my top 20. But yeah, some good players that just miss out. But you know, these players are winning, and they're elite people. Michael Carrick, you have to see these guys play when they play. Michael Carrick could ping a ball, daisy cut ball with left and right foot, some of the goals he scored, and he was very, very good. Very good. One touch, two touch, and yeah, he was in that Man United side of that 08, 09, 07, 08, 09. He was the catalyst of starting all that play, him and Scholes. So, yeah, very good player.
Yeah, I mean, as I said earlier, for me, I think the England missed the trick by not playing Carrick. I think he would have...
This is where you needed a brave manager, don't you? Like, listen, Carrick, Gerrard, Bosch, or Carrick, Scholes, and you know, they tried to fit them all in, they want to please everyone. You know?
Yeah, sometimes it's not about this, like this, the name or the player, it's about player in the right position.
What's best for your country, you know, your country, not you. Yes, you're going to be upset, but you'll get over it. And if you get on, no, but none of that was happening. They were trying to fit them all in, and Scholes would play on the left. And
Do you know who should be on? Actually, do you know who I would put in my top 10 now? If I would rejig it now, I would add this person in, is Nemanja Matic, I would have on the list. Because I think, particularly his time at Chelsea, I think he is one of the
Who would you take out? Gareth Barron, yeah, you're right, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
No, I think Matic is in that sort of top.
No, you're right, yeah. Gareth Barron, out of there. Matic in.
There you go. Happy days.
Bye,
right, just very last question, mate, before we finish. In your opinion, who is the best defensive midfielder in the Premier League today?
You're looking at him.
There's a quarterback. Quarterback.
Look at the name there. Look, Bosch. Rodri.
No, I think that's a fair shout. Anyone come close, do you think? Declan Rice, maybe.
Declan Rice, not come close. He's right behind him.
Yeah. Oh, here's an interesting one for you. Reese in the comments says Scott Parker deserves an honourable mention.
Yeah, yeah, Scott Parker. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Scott Parker, Nicky Butt.
Yes, mate. Nicky Butt gets a load of disrespect on his name.
Listen, when you've got Roy Keane and Paul Scholes in front of you, and you still played over like 500 games for Man United, you've done pretty well. So,
yeah,
he's no England. Did got a few caps for England. No, yeah,
nothing to sniff at, mate.
No, absolutely not.
Nothing to sniff at all. Right. We'll be back next Thursday with another top 10 list.
No, one minute. I'm away next week. I'm going away on Wednesday for Easter holidays for a week. Oof.
All right, mate.
Possibly I might be able to do it where I'm at, but you have to,
The other thing we could do, mate, I don't know if it would work for you, is we could pre-record it on like Monday or Tuesday and then put it out on Thursday. Is there an option? But I got to speak to you about the week after, actually, now. Right, guys, make sure you like, subscribe, spread the word about Roger Gibbs and football. We'll be back next week. We'll be back up to a full hour.
Sports Social Podcast Network.